The sensors reported that 4 combat wasps were pursuing them. Joshua fired an answering salvo of 5. He could hear Dibe muttering something that sounded like a prayer. It had the right dirge-like resonance. "They're coming after us," Melvin said a minute later. Maranta and its cohort were accelerating away from Aethra. "That's the Gramin," Sarah said, after studying the image. "Look at the angle its drive is deflected through. There isn't another starship that can do that. Whistler was always boasting about their combat agility." "Just wonderful, Sarah, thanks," Joshua proclaimed. "You got any other morale boosters for us?" Warlow climbed the ladder into the lounge deck, boosted muscles lifting him easily against the heavy gravity. Carbon composite rungs creaked in dismay under his tripled weight. There were Edenists packed solid across the lounge floor. None of the acceleration couches had been activated. Not that there were enough anyway. They didn't have neural mnemonics, the Cosmic realized, and because of it their children whimpered and snivelled in wretched distress without any cushioning below them. He walked over to the smallest girl, who was lying wide-eyed and terribly pale beside her mother. "I'm putting her into zero tau," he announced shortly, and bent down. He had plugged a pair of cargo-handling arms into his elbow sockets before coming up the ladder. They had wide metal manipulator forks which would act as a good cradle. The girl started crying again. "There will be none of this acceleration in the pod. Explain to her. She must not squirm when I pick her up. Her spine will break." "Be brave," Tia told her daughter. "He will take you to a safe place where you won't hurt so." "He's horrible," Gatchia replied as the metal prongs slid underneath her. "You'll be all right," Gora said, reinforcing the pacific mental subliminal Tia was radiating. Warlow took care to keep Gatchia's spine level, supporting her head with one set of forks, while the other 3 arms were positioned under her torso and legs. He lifted gingerly. "Can I help?" Gora asked, levering himself onto his elbows. His neck felt as though it was being slowly compressed in a hydraulic vice. "No, you are too weak." Warlow clumped out of the lounge, an outlandish fairy legend figure walking amongst the prone, hurting bodies with a grace completely at variance with his cumbersome appearance. There were 7 children under 10 years old. It took him nearly 5 minutes to shift them from the lounge to the zero-tau pods. His neural mnemonics monitored their flight on a secondary level. The attacking starships were matching Lady Mac's 3G acceleration. Combat wasp submunitions produced a continual astrofire of plasma between them. Lady Mac swept over the fringes of the ring, 2,000 kilometers above the ecliptic, as Warlow lowered the last child into the zero-tau pod. "Thank Christ for that," Joshua said when the pod was enveloped by the black field. "Okay, people, stand by for high acceleration." Lady Mac's thrust increased to 7 Gs, tormenting the Edenists in the lounge still further. For all the stamina of their geneered bodies, they had never been supplemented to withstand the onerous burden of combat spaceflight. Maranta and Gramin began to fall behind. Sensors showed 3 more combat wasps eating up the distance. "Jesus, how many of the fucking things have they got left?" Joshua asked as he launched 4 of the Lady Mac's remaining 6 drones in response. "I estimate 10, Melvin devised. Possibly more." "Wonderful." Joshua angled the Lady Mac down sharply towards the rings. The slow-moving pack of dusty ice chunks reflected an unaccustomed radiance as the 3 starships streaked past. After millennia of stasis, stirred only by the slow heartbeat of the gas giant's magnetosphere, the ring's micrometer dust was becoming aroused by the backwash of electromagnetic pulses from the fusion bombs exploding above it. Dark snowflake crystal patterns rippled elegantly over its surface. The temperature rose by several fractions of a degree, breaking up the unique and fantastically delicate valency bonds between disparate atoms which free fall and frigidity had established. Behind the starships the rings quivered like a choppy sea before the storm was unleashed. Those on board the Lady Macbeth, able to receive the sensor images, watched with numbed fascination as the ring particles grew larger, changing from a grainy mist to a solid plain of drifting, mud-yellow boulders.